The following classic Compassion Radio program comes from one of the most popular series we've ever presented. We now bring you Hearing Revelation, Part 2.
Imagine this scenario. You and perhaps members of your family are placed in a catastrophic situation where you have no access to a Bible, and yet you desperately need the encouragement and the comfort of God's Word to keep you going. What do you do? Well, if you've committed portions of the Bible to memory and stored up God's Word in your heart and mind, you can recall and speak that Word to yourself and others and be strengthened by the power of Scripture.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the sands of the Sahara to the heights of the Himalayas, every day is a revelation. This is Compassion Radio, and we take you to the places where God's hand is at work right now. We're glad to have you along with us for the next half hour. To the persecuted church, one book of the Bible stands out for its powerful imagery, encouragement, and hope. It's the book of Revelation. It's no cryptic mystery to them. The truths contained in this last book of the Bible are living water for trying times. And with today's program, you'll understand why. We're calling this series Hearing Revelation. The music highlighted today is available through our office. I'll tell you how later in the broadcast. Here's Norm with part two of his conversation with Karen Heimbach.
Well, God's Word is powerful, and it brings hope and encouragement to believers who hear its message and believe it. And my friend, that is what the message of the book of Revelation is all about. You see, it brought courage and hope to its original readers in their time of persecution. And everywhere that my wife Cher and I travel around the world, persecuted Christians in China and Pakistan and Sudan and North Korea and in many other countries today gather a powerful message of hope from this book, which is, after all, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Now, today's program is number two in our three-part series of programs featuring my conversation with Karen Heimbach, the artist who has produced a magnificent 2-CD album of her performance of the entire Book of Revelation, accompanied, by the way, by the world-class London Symphony Orchestra. And we'll tell you how to obtain it at the end of today's program. But now, let's resume our conversation with Karen Heimbach. I'm sure you've heard this a lot, Karen. When some of us who are a little older than you are were young, scripture memorization was just mandatory. I mean, it was something that we did. We were expected to do it, and many of us did it, some more than others, but we did it. It was a value. I don't know whether in the church today there is as much emphasis on this as there used to be. We have a lot of tools for dealing with scripture, but I don't think there's the same emphasis that there used to be. I wonder if that's a problem.
Well, if it's not a problem now, it will be soon evident. If our particular country here in North America, if we continue to go down the same broad path of destruction as we're headed, it could very well be in the years to come, perhaps the near future, where we will be denied the right of even owning a copy of the Holy Scriptures. And I'm not prophesying doom or gloom. I'm just reading the newspaper. You know, I'm just seeing what's happening in the world around us, and things are going downhill fast. Now, of course, you know, with God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So I don't want to be misunderstood. All I want to say is that we need to prepare ourselves. We need to gear ourselves up. So if that day should ever come to our country, that the body of Christ here in North America would be already prepared, that as chapter 21 in Revelation says, you know, I saw a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. She was prepared, and we need to prepare ourselves for his soon return. And I believe that includes really hiding his word in our heart, not just making a mental assent to God's word, but hiding the scriptures in our hearts so that we can live them out. So that if there ever comes a time when the word is taken away from us they can't take it away from us. It's already in our hearts. And so you have a portion of James memorized. I have a portion of Revelation memorized. A brother so-and-so has maybe five or six of the Psalms memorized. So even in a group as small as two or three, we can come together in those days and we'll have the counsel of God. Yeah. It'll be a beautiful thing to see the body of Christ unite, especially on this one point. As chapter 21 in Revelation says, I saw a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. She was prepared. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.
You know, our listeners here at Compassion Radio are very much attuned to the church in China and to other places in the world where there's been significant persecution of the church, the kind of thing that you're saying could happen here. And one of the things that they've heard on these programs has been a Chinese gentleman who was imprisoned for 18 years during a particularly difficult period in China. Yes. And he was put in a particularly difficult place in a prison. He had to shovel human waste.
Oh, my goodness.
That was his job.
Wow.
And he was knee-deep in it every day. That man said, I was glad when that happened because I was able to be alone. Nobody wanted to be around him. No one wanted to be with him. But he had memorized the scriptures for many, many years. And in that horrible place, he was able to recite scripture and to do it out loud.
Yes.
And he received benefit and strength and courage.
Yes.
And all of that from this word of God, which he had hid, internalized into his own being through the discipline of memorization. So you know, it's not just a matter of having the word hid just in case someday we can't have our Bibles, but it does something in us and for us.
Absolutely.
And you would know that, especially having committed such a sizable portion.
Well, John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. And one sure way of decreasing and him increasing is just taking in more and more of his word. I have come to find out in my, I was going to say young life, but it's kind of middle life, I guess. But I have come to find out in the life that I've lived so far that people really are not that interested in my opinion. But people are very interested in God's opinion.
Yeah.
And if I can fill my heart with what's on God's heart, if I can fill my heart with God's words, then what does the scripture say? Out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth will overflow. And I want the overflow of my mouth to be the words of God.
Many of us have seen in recent months pictures of young Muslim students. Generally, it's young men. And they're sitting in madrasas in western Pakistan or before the war in Afghanistan and other such places. And they are committing the entire Quran to memory.
There you have it.
I have been, I can't tell you how convicted I personally have been as I watch those young men internalize the Quran, which we have to acknowledge is not the Word of God, but they are committing it into their minds and into their hearts. We've got a ways to go, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to lay a guilt trip on us or on other Christians. That's not the reason to do it. But I just want to point out that this is something that can be done and is being done all over the world by people who do not have God's Word as we do. How much more important for us to commit it to memory?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's much more to come from Karen Heimbach and the Amazing Revelation Project. You can reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the Internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. Thanks for joining our Compassion Radio team, and we look forward to hearing from you today. And now, back to Norm and his guest, Karen Heimbach.
I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed.
Karen, tell me about the whole production aspect of this. This is just a magnificent sounding thing, and our listeners are hearing selections as we go through this today. They can tell that this is not some two-bit production. You had the London Symphony Orchestra behind you. How did that feel?
Well, you can imagine, as you feel like you're on top of the world. Of course, I didn't record over in London. I was present when the symphony was being recorded. I was recorded over here in the States. Of course, you've got to lay the tracks down from the orchestra, and then you have to lay down the tracks for the 40-voice choir, and then you need to lay down the tracks for the sound effects by Academy Award-winning sound effect designer Frank Serafini. And then,
couldn't you get anybody good for this project?
And then you just then you need to lay down what I would think would be the most important track, and that is the Holy Word of God.
Right, right. Well, when you heard it, what was your feeling?
Oh, I wept.
I can imagine.
I wept because this was something that I had envisioned. I had heard it in my head, not necessarily the particular tune, but I had imagined something like this, something of this grandeur and this majesty, this kind of a huge sound that would be worthy of the Word of God, you know?
Yeah.
And I had imagined this years ago when I first started memorizing the book and really looking forward to the day when I could finally present the entire book with everything scored in the background.
God placed in your heart the whole concept of a production that would have the kind of magnificence that this does.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, you're shooting high. And you hit the mark. You really did.
Well, the Lord was really gracious to provide a composer that could hit the mark.
Yeah. Tell us about him, by the way.
Michael Harrington.
Yeah.
Yeah. He attends the church that I attend.
Yeah.
And he and his wife had heard me at one of the conferences that I had presented excerpts from about, I think, 4 years ago now. He was so moved that they invited me over to their house for dinner. And I had just been praying shortly before that, very much in earnest about the need for a composer. And I just believed that the Lord was providing a composer through Michael. And so I just asked him if he would consider writing the score for my delivery of Revelation. I hadn't heard any of his music.
Really? Huh?
No, right. I just believed that the Lord was opening a door. He wrote a marvelous score. And then he had friends that he believed would really catch the vision of this project, Scott and Kelly Walchek. And so they ended up being the executive producers of this project. And then that is why we were able to go to London and record with the London Symphony at Abbey Road Studios.
Oh.
And that is why we had top-notch engineers like John Richards and the sound effects designer like Frank Serafini. I mean, it sounds like I'm dropping names. What I'm dropping the name is that Jehovah Jireh. That's the name I'm dropping. God will provide. And if God has put a dream, put a hope, put a vision in your heart, ask God. He wants you to ask him for it. You know, I did not know. I mean, God far superseded what I had asked for. But I knew that the scriptures were worthy of the very best that we could give him. So that's what this project is a culmination of 3 years in the making, getting everything scored, getting everything recorded, getting everything mixed and mastered and product ready. It's taken a significant time period, and yet it's just God's timing right now for the release of this project.
After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. This I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Before the throne and worship God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, at the center of the throne, will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
You know, I understand exactly what you're saying. When we started our Compassion Radio ministry down the road of going to really tough places around the world and taking on projects, humanitarian aid and care, sharing the compassion of Christ and all of that, we made a decision, and the decision was we will never kick in a door to try to do something.
Right.
I have the feeling that that's what you're saying, mm-hmm. that you didn't have to go and pound on people's doors and threaten them and try to talk them into anything.
Didn't have to coerce. Never a time of coercion. It's just presenting it and letting their hearts be captured by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And when that happens, then you have a sense of confidence that, well, yes, it is God that's behind this and not our, you know, clever machinations or our pulling strings to make things happen.
Precisely.
And, of course, that's very biblical, and that's what this project is all about, the Word of God.
Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout, like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land.
The conclusion to this powerful interview with Karen Heimbach about the amazing Revelation Project is coming up tomorrow, so plan to tune in then. Cher, I wanted to talk a little bit about this month's special project and the premium that goes with it. It's something we've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've talked about handcrafted things being always appreciated by our givers and our partners in Compassion Radio. And this month's premium, Cher, is really special in that regard. It has a very specific Compassion Radio focus because it's made specifically for us. It's a bracelet that's hand-hammered by some of these artisans at Foray, the Friends of Refugees and Immigrants in St. Louis. It's a beautiful brass bracelet that's been hammered and woven with a cross symbol built right into the bracelet.
Is Bram, it is very stylish. Right now, these kind of bracelets are all the rage, particularly among the young people, but I appreciate them too. But the most important thing about it is the prayer reminder.
Mm-hmm.
To have something to remind you to pray for whatever the project is that month, I think is always important. But to have something lovely that you can have on every day, all day, and every time you see it, you can send up a sentence prayer for the project that you're believing in, I think is invaluable.
Yeah.
So then to know that it's been made specifically for Compassion Radio listeners by people who are working to make a good life for themselves here in America, but are people who are also hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and applying that to their lives every day. That just has to make you smile or at least warm your heart every time you look at it.
We got to meet some of the artisans that, because of the ministry of Foray, have come to know Jesus personally. And now, of course, they build their business with a real big heart of gratitude that God brought them not just opportunity, but brought them a whole new family. And these artisans produce these beautiful bracelets just for us. We've asked them to actually include a cross in this particular brass bracelet, which is hammered and woven with a brass wire in a very unique way. And each one is a handcrafted item. We're looking for a gift of $25 or more to the Foray Project through Compassion Radio this month. And supplies are limited, so if you'd like to get one of these, make sure you act early because they'll run out pretty soon.
Well, I really hope they do, Bram. I hope people are stimulated, first of all, to pray for the project, to give to Compassion Radio so that we can really bless this ministry, but also we'll really use this as a reminder what they've participated in and what they want the Lord to bless.
Request your bracelet today when you call with your gift to 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or you can always access our safe and secure website at CompassionRadio.com. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. Our phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.